What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Yeah. What's up, Greg?
Not much, man. I'll talk to you in a second. Forbes cool. 30 under 30. A.K.A. the second best baby.
Andy, how much did you hate that? Andy, how much did you hate
AKA.
That?
The verified so one much. At Tim Gettys.
Let's him host Nick. I loved it. I loved Thanks, Nick man. Jumping into karate. Like, also, I loved you moving on even more.
I'll level with you, Megaran. You're our guest today, right? And so, like, we've started, you know, it's February now. We've done a few of the guest podcasts. We're doing two Kinda Funny podcasts a week. We're introducing the guest now. What I don't have a cadence for yet is when to introduce the guest. Because traditional Kinda Funny podcast has me run through everybody, and we do little bits. Nick does karate, and then 25 minutes later, we talk to Tim. I felt when we had Barb on, I felt like Barb was sitting there, you know, cooling her heels for way too long. And so I wanted to try to, I don't know what to do. Andy, you're here too. He's the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas street Latino. Clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globe trotting, headshotting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
That's one of the best podcast moments ever. Of just Greg wanting to move on immediately.
I said I want to get back. I'll get back to you. Like, I let him know. I'm not freezing you out.
No, you said I'll get back. No, you didn't say I'll get back to you. You said, all right, I'll talk to you later.
That was totally like how you sign off with your parents. All right, I'll talk to you later. I can punt this down the road.
What's going on in daily?
Yep. Talk to you later. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Love you. We'll love you too. All right. Bye. And then, you know him from Kinda Funny Live. You know him from his incredibly successful rap career. And now you know him as published author. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Kinda Funny, Megaran.
Hey. Good to see you guys. Oh my gosh, I miss all of you so much.
It's been too long, Mega. You know what I mean? I went back too when it was a normal world and you were able to travel and do things. I felt like we saw you at least every 6 months, every nine months. You were through the show.
Couple times of the year for sure. Like whether it be stopping out in San Francisco or at a convention or something. Like it was always a time to meet up.
And that's why I'd like to open it up here. Of course, I'm reading from Dream Master, a memoir, right here, Megaran's book here. We're going
to
start with...
But before this, Aran, does he have rights to read this out loud? Like, is it cool? Are you cool with this?
Talk to my lawyer, but I think it's okay.
It's just fair use. It's as if the book fell from the sky. We're starting at chapter 18. Here's where I want to jump in with you, Mega. You write, tour time. Those are my two favorite words to utter or type. Because as a musician, we all dream of getting on the road and knocking down stages in strange places, making new friends and fans, hopefully getting paid, and having stories to tell for ages. Megaran, are you okay right now? Like, I think, you know, obviously COVID in 2020 and now 2021 is rough on everybody. But, like, I saw you on the road all the time. I know, I mean, even before I read it, I know how much touring means to you. How are you hanging in there, man?
Oh, it's rough, honestly. But I've really gotten into a really nice groove. I think my wife and I have spent more time together since we've known each other, which is amazing. So we're kind of like getting to know each other all over again.
This was the real test. Like, all right, you know, this marriage has been going fine, but.
For sure. I'm like, I'm glad we got a bigger house before the pandemic. I think we would have strangled each other in our tiny apartment.
Sure,
you know, fair. So. But yeah, it's been tough, man. But you know, I feel like I do my best to keep interaction at a high level, whether it's social media or in the Discord or things like that. But there's no comparison to real time feedback and hugs and handshakes and high fives. There's no comparison. So I'm adjusting. I'm still adjusting. It's been a year and I'm still adjusting. That's really all I can say is that, you know, we've made the best of it. You know, I think going heavy on Twitch has helped a lot. We've done a lot of really, really cool, like private, like experience moments where we go and do like, we did a Zoom reading of the book where I got a bunch of fans together and we just talked about the book and that was super fun, but we still have not, no one has invented a way. And I really thought it would have happened by now for people to applaud somehow in the middle of a live stream show. Like we can't get real feedback in real time. Yeah. Someone needs to create the hug machine or the dap machine or the signature machine. We need something because I really just thought it would have happened by now, but there's nothing like it though. So
Ran, I got it for you, Ran. Say something cool and profound right now if you'd like.
No pressure.
Well, you know, Maya Angelou always said, people will forget what you did for them, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Huge.
Huge. Crushed it.
Crushed it. I think the thing is, though, imagine like someone watching on Twitch can't give you that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They can't give you that live sensation. Like, I don't know. It's just it's not quite the same.
I see what you mean. One of my favorite bands ended up doing a concert because of COVID, and it was one of these charity things where they all got tested. They went to, I think, their parents' house, and they set up in their parents' basement. And it was a really, really nice setup.
That's
and
awesome.
The sound quality was amazing. But it was weird to not have the audience response there, but watching the Twitch chat just pop the fuck off and having Twitch chat having to be in the most aggressive level of slow mode because everybody was just spamming, and it's all like it's all the emotes of the people dancing, and it's all the cat jams, and it's all this shit, and it kind of felt like a really cool experience. That this is near the beginning of COVID, so we're talking, you know, 9 months ago by now, and I thought it was really cool. And since then, I've seen a lot more bands doing these online experiences where, hey, we're doing this live, and maybe it's a sub only stream. You have to be a subscriber, or if you're here, whatever, like watch anyway. And then, you know, the nicer people in chat, the more, I guess, giving people in chat are just gifting out subs like crazy, and it becomes a huge celebration. So it's definitely interesting to see what musicians are doing with this type of thing.
Yeah, we've been jumping around a bit. Myself, MC Lars, MC Frontalot, and Schaefer the Dark Lord have called ourselves the Four-Eyed Horsemen. And we've now created this,
that's great,
this nerdcore, you know, concerts that we do every month, you know. And we've been doing them through, like, we sell tickets through a site called Universe. And then once it's time, we send you a link that forwards to maybe a private YouTube stream or somewhere else where we're in our individual houses, you know, performing, interacting with chat. Maybe we pre-record and do a bunch of cool effects things. And it's been a lot of fun. So that's been going on for like 6 months now. And we do it at the last Saturday of every month. And it's been really fun and successful. And people are like, hey, I know that you guys are itching to get back on the road, but please, like, don't stop doing these shows because, you know, I'm still very shy. I may not want to come out. I may not be able to get out. So I think I think the future of touring is going to be a combination of what we're doing now and what we were doing, I think.
Something I've been thinking a lot about for musicians like yourself is how this might change your live show going forward. Because I feel like, you know, you've done your songs over and over so many times. Like when you perform your hits, you know the ad-libs, you know what the hype man's going to say and all that stuff, like what the crowd interaction is going to be. Like having to now perform your songs live, but without that type of, when I say this, you say that type feedback, do you think it's going to, has it changed for your at-home concerts, and it will change your live concerts when we eventually get back to that?
It's definitely changed the at-home concerts. What I've started doing just to challenge myself is using different versions of the track, like if I play on a backing track, or even trying to play it live, you know, just to experiment, playing it slower, playing it faster, playing a recorded version that maybe had some crowd noise in it, you know, from maybe an earlier show that I've done. I've been trying my best to be creative with it. But yeah, it's going to change future shows for sure. We were saying like every venue is going to have a projector and a screen, maybe even a green screen, you know, at this point, because I think at this point, every band should be thinking about the visual element and the streaming element. So every venue should be ready for us to come in, plug up and stream this show live, you know, for the future, I think.
You have Nightbot. I need to log into my Twitch account. Like,
where are your mods at? You got some mods?
Yeah.
We need to know.
Are you seeing, I mean, you're so established. You're Mega Ran. Everybody knows you. Everybody loves you. You've traveled the world.
No, we don't. Not everyone.
You have a book. Where can people get Dream Master?
They can get it everywhere, even Amazon. But I would say use Amazon as your last resort because they will. I mean, you know, like they need your money. I made a site called dreammasterbook.com. And on that site, I put every place where you can get it, but I've listed them in the order of places I want you to get them. Gotcha. So we started with some Black-owned bookstores, some independent bookstores, independent music shops, independent game stores, and then Amazon.
And then the final one, like, all right, if you gotta go somewhere
in the smallest font possible.
But as you know, again, establishing, you know, you're obviously able to pivot stuff, have you seen like a chilling effect, like with smaller independent artists of them moving away from the music or having to worry about that kind of thing? Like, I can't only fathom what it's like to make a living via music, let alone make a living via music during a pandemic.
Yeah, I've seen it. I was doing a weekly show where I called it Random House Live, and we would all get together and I'd bring musicians on to play songs. And whenever I tried to get musicians that weren't solo, like if they were bands, a lot of them were like, dude, we're out of practice. We don't have our practice space. We're not able to get together. Mm-hmm. We're not ready. And I honestly think that when things do open up again, like most bands are not, they don't have their mom's basement or, you know, the ability to go and just practice together like they would like, from what I've experienced with bands. So I think a lot of them are not going to be ready, you know, not to say that they've like hung it up, but I really worry about guys who like don't sell merch or don't have a connection with their fans, don't have a Patreon. I'm like, how are you doing this?
There's so many tools at your fingertips to make this a thing.
Like, how are you not, I mean, how are you making this like happen? I don't know how a lot of people can make it work without that sort of support. You know, if it weren't for, you know, Patreon and these Twitch shows and the, you know, the Four Eyed Horseman shows, I don't really know what I'd be doing, you know. I'm not quite sure exactly. I don't even want to think about what I could be doing.
I have a couple of suggestions, Ran. and I'm going to suggest.
Wait, you're giving him suggestions for what he could do? Like,
yeah, for the whole music community, Greg. For the whole music
career. Okay, just making sure.
Definitely out there. Because we have.
This is going to end with Owen Wilson sound effect. I guarantee it. I don't know why.
No, sitting far stage right, we have a stand up comedian on board with us. Who recently performed? Do you want to tell Ran where you performed, Nick? Because I think I think the music community could really use this sort of help and resources. Go ahead, Nick.
So the last show I did was on top of a parking structure in Santa Cruz, where all of the patrons or the people that came to watch the show sat in their all three of them sat in their respective cars. And at first I was like, oh, this is going to be cool because they're going to honk their horns when they think something's funny. And the host comes up and says, hey, everyone, welcome to Santa Cruz Comedy Night. I'm so-and-so. Just a reminder, please do not honk your horns. It is pissing off all the neighbors. So if you think something's funny, just flash your lights. And if any of the comics are susceptible to seizures, they will die in front of you. They will have an epileptic seizure and probably pass out in front of you. It's the worst. So you're sitting there, no feedback from the audience whatsoever. You can kind of see someone in the car moving in front of you, but there's blinding lights happening because they all have their lights on so that they can flash their high beams.
Yeah, reflection? Is that
And then when you do get a laugh, somebody blind, like you get like really blinding high beams in your face, and you're like, I guess this is just what comedy looks like in 2020, 2021. So if you want to do shows like that, Rand, go for it. I mean, they're super fun.
I appreciate that. I've thought about it, and I'm like, I've seen shows, you know, the drive up thing, and I'm just like, I don't know if I feel the connection that I would need at a concert. But I've had some friends who went, they drove to San Diego for a show where they drove up to maybe an amphitheater and it was outdoor, and you drive up and you get like your bubble, like your space is taped off that you can get outside of your door, but you can't go any further. You know, like, so people just sit on their hood or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to get escorted to the bathroom when you got to go to the bathroom. Like, it just, I don't know. It doesn't feel like a lot of fun.
It's definitely fun. And, you know, a lot of the comics that I've worked with in the past are doing like Zoom shows and things like that. And I've done a couple of those, but I totally feel what you're saying when you talk about not being able to connect, because especially when you're on Zoom stuff, like in Twitch, it's different because everyone's sort of in the chat together and that's where the conversation happens. But on Zoom, all you do is see a bunch of blank screens with a muted mic, and you don't even know if these people are paying attention to you or not.
You don't know.
Like, at least when I used to do shows, I knew they didn't like me because they would just be looking at their phones. So at least I had that feedback, like real talk.
Right.
You could see that feedback and go, okay, they're not connecting with this material. Maybe I should hang up my jacket or whatever the hell the parlance is. But like now you just don't have any clear concept, and people are coming around to it after a year. They're actually like, okay, we'll open it up. But for them, it's a matter of also comfort of being like, I don't know who these people are. I'm on a Zoom call with, who are these comedians? It's weird. People are seeing into my living room, which is kind of intimate. Yeah. So it's just all sorts of
look how intimate it is with its two wrestling chairs and kind of funny neon sign.
Oh no, I don't mean for me. I just mean if you're an audience member, Greg, and like you're not used to being on camera, all of a sudden you turn it on and you're painfully aware that someone's got a window into your home, you know,
when
they can talk about you. And then it's it sucks because as far as like crowd work is concerned, it's like, how am I gonna go? Like, you're not getting that like I can maybe see one person, right? And it's like, okay, well, that person's gonna get picked on a lot. And then inevitably 10 minutes into the show or after the second comic, you just see the camera turn off. He's like, I don't want people to see me anymore. I'm not taking this shit anymore, right?
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I don't know if you guys have been on Clubhouse yet, but on I've been in a few rooms. It's ridiculous. I call it the cap house because there, all they do is give you, as the kids say, cap, which is when people lie. They tell you, and the CEOs that can show you how to make $1 million that no one's ever heard of. So, anyway, I'm hanging out in there, and they're like, oh, when someone says something great, we do the Clubhouse clap, which is you just toggle the mute button over and over again. So the person can see your mute button flashing on and off. Why? They're applauding you.
No.
And I'm like,
no, I don't want this.
Yeah, this Clubhouse thing is very confusing me. I don't like it. I'm very Nick Scarpino about this, where I don't understand it. So I'm like, nope, I hate this thing. But I loaded it up.
Like with Twitter, too. We're like,
yeah, of course. You know? Of course, right? But I loaded it up, and I saw that there were two different things going on. I don't know how they targeted me, how they knew I'd be interested or whatever, but one was like, okay, it's Jeff Keighley, Andrea Renee, and like, okay, like people I know. And the other one was Soulja Boy and like a couple other people. And I'm like, I'm going to go to that one.
You know.
I'm definitely going to the Soulja Boy one. So I click into it, and it's Soulja Boy talking. And I'm like, this is fucking weird. And I just like turned it off because like, freaked me out, and I was like, I'm not doing this right now.
Then Soldier Boy called you. It was like, well, why did you leave?
On Twitter, someone straight up caught me. the KDS 123 tweets at me, seeing at Tim Geddes in a Clubhouse room with at Soldier Boy is the most Tim Geddes ass way to find Tim Geddes.
That's so funny.
And I'm like, damn, I didn't know motherfuckers could see me in this shit. Like,
see you in it. Like, it's totally network based. So the only way people see a room is if someone you know is in that room. It's weird. So if you decide to jump in the moan room, which there is one there,
oh dear,
which is exactly how it sounds. Everyone will see you in the moan room, and you know, so that's you gotta be careful.
Yeah, I got the invite from Clubhouse the other night from a PR contact. He's like, hey, I had an extra, so I sent it to you. I'm like, thanks. And I got in and I registered and then I looked at it and then I just texted back. I'm like, I have no idea what this is, and I'm going to bed, but I'll look into it later. And I never have. I don't even know what the hell this is all about.
I'll show you around a little bit, but it's ridiculous. I found like some cool like wrestling groups or gaming groups and you know, and Soulja Boy. But yeah, you know, it's some interesting stuff. Once in a while, you'll come in.
It's all audio chats, right? It's just like you're entering into a chat room that's just a live mic.
Yeah. Like, everyone, I think there's only speakers who can, you know, talk but everyone else can listen, but someone else has to pull you up to like to the virtual front of the, you know, the table or the podium. So you get a bunch of mods and they can pull people up. And MF Doom, the day he passed, man, that was just an amazing MF Doom tribute room where like all these producers come in and start telling all these stories. And oh, I worked with him. I made a song with him, but it never came out. Want to hear it? And he like plays a little bit of it.
Oh, that's awesome. Like, that's cool.
Really, really awesome time. So there's been some great gems in those rooms.
What if we hop into a room right now live? Do we have the technology?
Just see.
I mean, hold my phone up to the mic, couldn't
you? Yeah, Greg can just.
I guess
phone.
So. Yeah, I guess so.
Oh,
I guess
snap. So.
Yeah, my favorite.
I don't even know if there's a space between club and room. Is it one word?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right,
Kevin. I'm going to just put club room one word question mark next to for the topic.
All right, so, like, I'm on the front page and I got a sing/rap acapella presented by Music Patch. I got Pigeon Beer Parlor. And then I got the Coop House.
See, the funny thing about this whole Clubhouse sort of phenomenon is that there is already a competitor trying to do the same thing, and it's called App Stereo, and it says impromptu conversations between entertaining strangers, and I found out about it because one of the guys from ESPN tweeted out about, you know, just this random app, and I was like, oh, is this like a sort of Clubhouse competitor? And it seems like it, but when you look for, so this App Stereo thing, they only have 54 followers on Twitter. So I'm assuming the competition not going so great.
Nah. Well, so if it's what I think it is, Andy, it's not called App Stereo. It's just, it's an app called Stereo. And it's just a new form of podcast. Man. It's different than Clubhouse. I'm talking to some of their people. We might be partnering with them on some stuff. But it's a different type of thing. It's not, it's less like interactive and more just kind of like, you're making mini podcasts and stuff on it, and you could ask people to record messages for you to listen to.
Because like the impromptu conversation between entertaining strangers, I just assume it seems like the audio form of Omegle, where or you know, all those sites where you just kind of hop in and it's a webcam chat and a random person pops up, and it could be an old dude cranking it, or it could be, you know,
yeah, it's not like that
playing music, God. You know. It would happen, Kevin. It would scare the shit out of us.
Yeah. My favorite thing to happen in the last like month is that I got an invite to Clubhouse from one of my comedian friends, and he was like, obviously, if you ever want to get Nick Scarpino to join a new social network, you have to like coerce and cajole me into doing this. I was like, I don't know what this is.
Nick, I need you to stop. Yeah. Oh wait, who's listening? Tim's already in it. All right. So hey, everybody. Yeah, I started in my own room, everybody, on Clubhouse. I'm Greg Miller. I just saw Allie leave already. Thank you, Allie, for coming and leaving immediately. I started a room titled Andy Cortez. And currently, we have Grover in the room, Vince in the room, Kevin in the room, Tim in the room, and Vincent in the room. Oh, no, Grover
Greg,
left.
I'm sorry, Grover Greg, left. Perez Hilton has a room. I'm going to jump into that one.
It's all right, Tim Geddes, do you have a question about the Clubhouse room?
I would like you to give a shout-out to Kevin, who in the chat right now is the one that called me out about Soulja Boy.
Kevin, shout out to you in the chat. You're the one who called out Tim on Soulja Boy. You might be watching. We're doing something called the Kinda Funny Podcast right now on patreon.com/kindafunny. You can get it at youtube.com/kindafunny tomorrow. But here's where we come in and talk about Andy Cortez. Now, what I noticed the most about Andy is that when Megaran mentioned, hey, there's a moan room, I went, ooh, Andy. And Andy let it go for a second, and then it clicked in his head of like, what does that mean? And so that's why I made this room, is that this is a room we can all moan about Andy. You know what I mean?
I don't know
if that's what they meant by moaning, Greg. I think
they don't mean like bitching moan. Oh.
It's called Clubhouse, not Club Room. Okay.
Yeah, Clubhouse, Kevin.
Yeah. One all right.
Hold on. Kevin Diaz has raised his hand. Kevin Diaz has something to say. We're going to hit that button. And then I think that lets him talk now. Kevin, hello. You're on the Kinda Funny Podcast and in the room, Andy Cortez on Clubhouse. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, good sir?
I cannot complain. Are you watching the podcast as well, or are you just here on Clubhouse?
You see, I was on Twitter. I just got off of a podcast, but I usually watch Kinda Funny Podcast when I'm driving to work on Friday mornings.
Oh man, you're about to have some inception tomorrow. If you can drink and forget about doing this tonight, then you'll wake up tomorrow and be like, I was on that podcast.
Well, dude, yeah, I did not know that this was on the Kinda Funny Podcast, so that's cool.
Yeah.
So is this where we're gonna be moaning about Andy Cortez?
Like, that's right.
We're like sharing our grievances, if you will.
I like to leave it as a blank page that I wrote, moan about Andy Cortez. And so you can take, if you want to piss and moan about him, you want to moan, you know, in any kind of other way about him, you do it. You go
pleasure.
For it.
Tell him pleasure.
I mean, I feel like Andy has been a little bit too nice to Nick recently, right?
Yeah.
I think like since we conditioned to stay at home, right? Like I feel like there's been a lot less banter on like how very apparent, you know, how old Nick is.
Sure.
Right? Okay. Okay.
Sure.
Like, can we get like Kevin to leave quietly? Is that a thing?
Let up off the gas, you know.
No, I understand, but you understand what it's like, right? I mean, like before it was all fun and games, but now twice a week, every week on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, people see Nick come out there and try to do something and just fall down the stairs, and he just falls down the stairs for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Sad.
Like it's like Nick, you know. He always, you know, wants his, what is it, 6,000, I think,
5,000?
7,000. $4,000 PC.
7,000, like 7,000, yeah.
I can't like get the app, might, it's only like, Android.
I don't let my, you know, elderly
Wait,
family members carry anything okay. too heavy. He
meant totally.
You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
It's like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's part of it, and too. And it's also like, it's about the tools, right? Like I was saying earlier, right? You know, Picasso, he wasn't Greg, like, oh, how do I don't have the right paintbrush. I can't paint the 16th chapel here. You know what I mean? But Mike, you know, I got my partner over here, Nick, and he's like, if I don't have the right $7,000 piece, you know, this has gone on long enough. I think you used the moan about Andy Cortez room correctly, and I appreciate that, Kevin.
I try.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
I'll try my best. All right.
Now, Nick, if you'd like to raise your hand. Oh, you did. Hold on. I'm going to add you now. Hold on. Nick's
oh, you Carpino, downloaded okay. the app, Nick?
Yeah, you have it. You're
I'm
here.
On
you
this.
Can talk now.
I'm on
Nick,
this.
You can now address the room. You are a speaker as well. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I would like to just address
something. Oh, he muted his mic. Hold on. I'm sorry. I wasn't expecting that. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. I'm just coming to this. So what I'd like to say to Kevin, first off, thank you for the pointed feedback.
Right, I'm sorry
this
about
is a room to moan about Andy, and you somehow turned that into a low-key burn on me. kudos to you for that. That was masterful. But also, how dare you, sir? How dare you? So if we're going to talk shit about Andy, we should say that Andy has not extended an invite to me to play Warzone in 3 days. Wow. I'm out in the cold over here. It's raining. I'm trying to get friends to come play with me. Nobody wants to play with me. And I will also say, Tim has yet to thank me for using one of my two invites to get him on Clubhouse. That is all. Bye.
All right.
Okay. I will say thank you, Nick. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. If you want to do this, you have to raise your hand in the. If you want to be part of the Andy Moan Room, Tim, you have to raise your hand in Clubhouse. That's how it works. If you're just joining us and your name's Blaine, I just want you to know that you're getting into a live. We're recording the Kind of Funny podcast, but we're talking about what is going on here in the Andy Cortez room.
Do you regret this, Rand? You can be honest.
Hold on. Yes, before Mega Rand, before you answer, I want to. Somebody has raised their hand here in the Clubhouse room. It is Mega Rand. So we're gonna let Mega Rand have the floor.
Jesus.
Hey, thanks for bringing me up to the stage, Greg. I appreciate it. Longtime fan. Name's Ran. I make music.
Good to meet you.
Thank you. I played at a show one time, Kind of Funny Live, I believe it is. I may have seen you guys there. It was a really cool time. Interesting story there is that after that show, someone stole my Mega Buster. It was a really, really crazy story. I got off stage. I said, oh, man, this place is so great. And I left my little Mega Man arm cannon right on my merch table. And then it was gone. And so I walked away dejected. And then I got a sudden tweet. And it was from the criminal stating, ha, 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 look what I found, and tagging me in it. That really sucked. But I just want to say, by the end of that week, the Mega Buster was returned.
Yay!
I thought you were going to say, and that person, we don't know if that person's alive anymore.
Well, it's Andy Cortez, clearly. This is the Andy Cortez Moan Room, if you're just joining us. Remember, such this an is Andy the Andy Cortez
I wasn't
Moan
even
Room
there.
Well,
I wasn't there.
You could have been. You don't know.
You had an invite.
I don't know how it works. Come?
I was watching Rush, their final show, their final tour. Well, we didn't know it at the time, but it was their final concert.
That's the coolest
Andy,
thing you've
no,
ever
Eddie,
said.
It was KFL 2.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Oh, that was 2? Oh, I was at 2. I had mad strep throat, dude.
Yeah, I shouldn't have come at all. You shouldn't come.
I got so many people sick, probably.
We're going to have Blaine Gibson has joined the Andy Cortez room. We're going to call him to the front of the stage here inside of Clubhouse. Hello, Blaine. You're at the Andy Cortez house. You're also on the Kind of Funny podcast, but you can only hear me because we're bad at stuff. How are you?
Hey, great. First-time caller, long-time listener. Got to say, though, early season Andy Cortez, I definitely preferred him. I'm not sure about current season Andy Cortez, the writing's been a little bit off. The character work has been, it's been funky at best. I'm hoping COVID, they'll be able to pull through for season finale, but I don't know, you know.
Writer's strike.
Yeah. Andy says it's a writer's strike. He says
too big for his
strike.
Britches, actually. I feel like he just wants too much money.
Also, I tried to steal Mega's Mega Blaster. My fingers were not slippery enough, I guess. They were too sticky. It didn't work out.
Thick fingers.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for coming to talk about Andy. That means a lot to us. You're having that.
Thank you, Blaine. You
this, thing that they in Clubhouse called PTR is pull to refresh. And when you pull down your little thing there, it should refresh the order in the room.
So in case people leave or move around, or maybe they change their picture.
So what you could do if you start like a Kind of Funny room, you could be like, everybody change your avatar to the Kind of Funny logo or whatever. Then you could pull to refresh, bam, and then it gets, you'll see all the little cool things.
Mega Rand has taught me here on the Kind of Funny podcast how to refresh my Clubhouse app. So now I see more people. Thank you for joining the Andy Cortez room. You are a part of a live Kind of Funny podcast where sadly you can only hear me and then you get to take the floor and you address the podcast. The podcast is Andy Cortez, Nick Scarpino, Tim Geddes, and published author Mega Rand. Everybody go get his book right now. It's available everywhere. I'm going to do one more from the raised hand group. We're going to call on Tim Geddes here for the Andy Cortez Moan Room and see what he has to say. Remember, you can interpret how Andy moans or whatever you want it to be whatever you want it to be. Like, no one's going to judge you. It's how you do it. Just, you know what I mean? Like, if you want to turn it around on Nick,
It's even more confusing now.
I did just want to start off by saying that I'm hearing myself in my headphones and I can't talk. This is like that challenge we did years ago where it was like telephone and we had to like do the lyrics of a song.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like this. Hold on.
Just take it off. I can walk you through it. It's okay. The only people who can talk on the podcast are the ones in the clubhouse room right now.
Fucking hair looks. It's annoying.
God, this is the worst thing in the world. I want to say thank you, Nick, for inviting me to this. It is due to your prestige that I'm allowed to now be on yet another blue check marked app program, whatever you want to call it. I don't know how that works, but you know what? I think anyone on it is like that at this point. And this is really stupid. Like, I'm not enjoying this at all. So thanks for that.
Do you want to talk about Andy?
No.
I like Andy a lot. Oh. The only moment I want to give Andy is this one.
No.
Yeah, that was good.
Do one
that
more time.
Good.
Do more time.
No, nice. Nick, why are you asking for more?
Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for joining my first ever room here on Clubhouse, Andy Cortez. I assume it'll be the most popular room on all of Clubhouse, maybe only rivaled by Soldier Boy, but we will wait and see on that. And if you talk, you can catch yourself on the Kind of Funny Podcast, youtube.com/Kind of Funny, your podcast services around the globe. Until next time, Andy?
Oh, that was like it hurt. We were like,
anyway, you can do the moan however you want it to be. You can be, Kevin, you know.
Just I have a question for you all. And I think I read somewhere that Clubhouse was like going, it was opening up the gates to everyone like this week. So I'm probably late to this. But I have one invite left. Who should I give it to? Andy, do you want it?
I have my iPad, so it's technically an iOS.
It's just on Android.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's got to be Android. I thought you couldn't. I thought it wasn't there yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's iPhone.
It's not Clubhouse with a little, it's purple icon and it's some sort of flag.
Join Clubhouse.
Please join that, Kevin, and give your credit card to them. Just give your credit card to me.
Don't give the company card to them, but give your
not the company card. Not the company card.
Yeah, that's project management software, Kevin.
Andy, what I'll say is maybe I'll give it to you just so you can get your name on it on the odd chance that this is an app that we all are crapping on right now, but a year from now we're just on it. Like
that's why I jumped on it. That's why I jumped on it.
You think we buy in early, get in the stock trade?
I mean, I never buy in early, and I'm not even sold on Twitter yet. I'm still waiting for that one to crash. But I'll send you the invite and you can go on your iPad and just get your name. How's that sound?
Okay, yeah. That sounds good.
Cool.
Ran, do you have anybody in the music community who's told you about really, really terrible shows that they've tried to do, like this whole amphitheater thing? And when you hear any of these bad stories of bad venues, compare those to early shows that you've done. Which ones would you prefer?
You mean like a year ago? Like, you never really stop having the possibility of bad shows, though. Like, things can always happen. But I think the worst, to me, it scares me because I don't know a ton about technology. Like, literally what I've learned about streaming has been in the last 12 months. And so I get extremely nervous before I do a live stream event, you know, things like, because I just know that everything has to be perfect. And it's like going to a live show, also being the ticket taker at the door, the sound guy, the security, and the performer, you know, and in charge of cleaning up afterwards. You know, like you are everyone in this situation. So at least when I show up at a bad show and it's like, oh, they got bad sound, I can blame the staff or whatever. But it's literally all on me. Like, because there's no one else here. So that makes me extremely nervous. So I don't know if it's any worse, you know, but the worst show I've seen, I've seen some bad situations where I've invited artists to come and play shows with me who didn't have a lot of, you know, experience, or I didn't know what to ask them. Like, hey, how fast is your internet? Like, is your computer, you know, not 15 years old, you know?
And
another thing, like, I didn't ask the right questions. So when they get on the stage and on the show, they're like,
oh god, yeah.
And I'm like, okay guys, you know, like, so that's worse to me. That's far worse because that's unwatchable, you know. So I feel like it's more of an embarrassment, especially when we're starting this new thing, because it'll make people not necessarily want to come back, you know. They're like, are you sure you got it together, you know? So I get a little scared of that, you know. So but I've had bad shows like at Comic Cons or PAXs where they're like, oh, you need to use sound equipment. Like, I don't know, I just thought you just rapped, you know. You just had that stuff. Yeah. Like, I've been at comedy clubs trying to do music and they're like, oh, this the speakers are in the ceiling, so good luck with that, you know. And so yeah, I've had crazy stuff happen, but I think it's worse in a live stream scenario because you can kind of lose that trust instantly because it's such a new thing, you know.
Well, also, it's just so easy for people to leave the show.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Like, you don't, you have zero investment. You didn't get out. You didn't go buy a ticket. You didn't do any of this stuff. Like, you didn't get your jeans on. Oh, man, I had to wear jeans the other day. Didn't go well. Yeah, what's the last time everyone wore jeans in this room? But yeah, I mean, that's the hard thing. Is like, and that's the same thing with comedy, where it's like, it's just the investment level from the audience is so low that they're just like, I don't care about this at all.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, of the shows that I have done, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback of just saying like, hey, I know this is not ideal, but thank you so much for doing it, because it gives me something different to look forward to. And especially when we were able to get out and do some parklet shows, like, everything opened back up now in San Francisco, but people are just trying to figure out regulations and seeing if it's safe enough to do shows again. But the number one piece of feedback was like, dude, this was awesome. I know it's hard for you guys. I know you can't hear yourself. You can't see half the audience. But for everyone to get just a little slice of normalcy, it's very, very good for them. So it's awesome that you're doing it, because trust me, there's tons of people out there that need it right now, for sure.
For sure. I get a ton of email about it, where people are like, dude, like, or I just never thought I'd see you live. Like, hey, I live in Australia and I've never, you know, would have made it to a show. So this is cool. Or I really needed this entertainment, needed this little bit of an escape. So, I know that people appreciate it. So that's what makes me continue to do it.
But I think it was, you know, it was interesting. You saw it with Sundance too, right? Where people this year I've been tweeting about, like, oh my God, like, this is so much better for Sundance, because you can just go see these films online, right? Rather than have to buy the plane ticket, buy the hotel, buy the ticket to, you know, do all these different things. So
spend,
it's like
14 hours in a row watching movies.
Right. Yeah. There's so many weird pros and cons to this that you never would have thought about. Nicholas.
You guys ever think when you go to the Sundance Festival that you're going to wear the exact outfit that Lloyd wore in Dumb and Dumber, with the big poofy boots that are like furry? I always thought about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I have never once thought about going to Sundance, the festival.
I want to go so bad. Well, you've been to Park City, haven't you?
No.
I've only been to Park City one time, and I got sent on one of those.
You're talking about that Bethesda trip that they sent everybody to.
I don't know if it was Bethesda or not. I can't remember what it was. And actually, that doesn't sound right, because it was a Shaun White snowboarding game that we went for. And we just got to hang out with Shaun White in the bougiest hotel for like 3 days to interview him for 15 seconds about a game that he knew very little about. There's no disrespect to Shaun White, but he was just like, I'm getting paid to be here. What's up? And he was a really nice guy.
I miss game events, man. Just people wasting money.
Yeah. What was the Bethesda event, Greg?
It was pretty much the exact same thing you're talking about. That was Ubisoft. Or no, wasn't it? Yeah, Ubisoft for Shaun White. The Bethesda one was, I didn't go to either, but it was the one where they got to play Skyrim for the first time. They played a bunch of Skyrim, and they made them go up to the mountains and shit. It was a big deal. And Nate Ahern talked about how the shower was amazing, because it was like some crazy, like, I don't know, infinity shower or some crap like that. I don't know.
Remember, we almost sent Joey to some country in Europe.
Joey Noel with like 2 days notice almost went to, what was it, Sweden or whatever, for a Lego thing.
Oh, that would have been so cool. Wow. I would have done it.
I was like, do you have a passport? She's like, yeah. I'm like, do you want to go to Sweden on Friday? She's like, yeah. I was like, all right,
I guess.
going back to the Sundance thing real quick, I've never had any interest in going, because I am interested in movies, not so much a bunch of movies back to back, you know?
Sure.
But recently there was a documentary made about my high school, which is super random.
Really?
And it debuted at Sundance.
That's cool.
I was looking into it and I was like, oh shit, I want to watch this. And they're like, oh, like, click here, you can watch. I'm like, that's awesome. And I click in, I'm like, oh, these motherfuckers are trying to get me to buy like a 3-day film festival pass. Mm-hmm. And it was like hundreds of dollars. And I'm like, that's cool. I get it for the people that are doing that, but it's also like, all right, a little a la carte would be nice for some of these things. Cause I would totally pay like $20 or whatever to see this. Cause I get it. You know, they're not making, there's not like a full distribution plan for this or something. So it's like getting some money there more than normal, I'm cool with, but I don't want to pay hundreds of dollars to watch one thing.
No, I mean, yeah, if you're like festival going as like a thing, right? If you go to film festivals, like if you talk to like Matt Rohrbeck, right, he goes and he tries to watch like as many films as he possibly can, because he loves it, A, and then B, you know, he usually gets paid to write about it. To me, it's always just been like, they're cool, but I've just never been motivated to go to one of them. I've always kind of like, Kevin and I were talking about, I think we tried to get the press stuff for TIFF, for Toronto International Film Festival.
We got denied.
we just got like, boom. Woo, as did a lot of people, obviously, because they were, yeah, but I would love to go to one, but it's one I'm just not motivated to try and get the credentials and try to get out there. But it would be cool to be like, because Park City is so small that it would be so cool to be like walking around and be like, is that James Cameron? Is that like, you know, just see people who are having films that are going, I don't know if James Cameron goes to Sundance anymore, probably not, but it would just be cool to kind of be in that environment.
I want everybody here on the call, including Kevin, to predict when the next convention they'll be at in person, live in action.
E3 2022.
Yeah, right. E3 ain't coming back.
Yeah, that's the bigger thing is I don't know if E3 is going to be a thing.
You think it's done?
I
Comic-Con for sure will come back.
Yeah.
I think that RTX 2022 is probably the next one we're at.
Yeah.
Oh, let me think. I'm going to say PAX East 2022.
Damn, February. Hmm. So like about a year from now.
I mean, they'll move it back a little bit, maybe, but
isn't this year's? Yeah, isn't they're predicting PAX East this year? Isn't it way
they're
closer?
They're trying to move back this way this year too. So by then,
yeah, June. PAX East is June this year, which
if they go June again, 2022. Then
that's better for the weather at least.
Yeah,
that would be E3 week maybe.
Yeah, they're trying to push back to June this year.
Yeah.
They're not gonna make it's not gonna happen.
Yeah,
you know how all these things are. They refuse to die. They refuse to admit that there's a global pandemic that we can't fight. They're like, what's gonna happen?
There's issues with that contractually where
this goes back to when we used to debate about other people canceling. Yeah, it's all you can't cancel. Otherwise, if you cancel, you lose all your money. If you just let it get close enough to where the city's like, no, you can't throw a thing. You're like, all right, we did everything we could. We still keep your money in.
We're pushing it back.
WrestleMania last year with Tampa, where like a lot of the hotels were like, okay, it looks like it's not happening. And what's that event? WrestleCon. So they did this big convention that follows WrestleMania. And they were trying to cancel on the hotel. And the hotel was like, if you cancel, you owe us everything.
Yeah.
All right, we're just going to literally wait until like the week before. So they couldn't let anyone who was coming in cancel their hotel rooms or anything. It was just a mess.
That's so
cool. But yeah, it's like this game of chicken where you got to be like,
yeah, nope, who's going to blink?
Cancel. You know, you can't cancel because then you're liable. So
real event, it's crazy because it's also who will be standing and who will get it together and be back for stuff. I could see 2022 makes sense. I could see Comic-Con. I could see a PAX West.
Yeah,
okay. E3, definitely will be E3.
Right? Well, E3. I mean, E3 will happen to some degree, don't you think? Just maybe not the massive show that it was prior, but I'm sure.
I mean, this year E3 will happen in some way. Probably the ESRB will try to pull, or ESA will try to pull something together, and then I think it will not be a success. And will there be any ESA next year? That's where I think you're more at. That's the thing with all of these. Like, you look at ReadPop and everybody else who throws these conventions. It's like. Like ReadPop especially, like, you know, they have obviously this arm and they've seen layoffs. You look at like US Gamer closing and stuff like that. Like, there's a lot of different moving parts to it, but obviously live events, it was a huge thing for them. It was ReadPop events and that they're making all their money on. So when there's no events, what does that look like and how do you bounce back from that?
I'm thinking PAX West.
Yeah,
we're gonna sound like idiots. So we're gonna sound like a bunch of idiots on this podcast.
Nah, I mean, nobody knows. Who knows? We're all just hopefully speculating. Like, for me, that's my thing. Is like, I really hope. I mean, out of all of them, if I had to pick one, I hope Comic-Con comes back, because Comic-Con to me was just such a fun, great thing to look forward to, and taking over the entirety of downtown Gaslamp District in San Diego, and seeing like the comedy shows that popped up and like the nightlife and just being able to roam around. Like, I miss that. I miss that a lot. E3, on the other hand, if it was a smaller convention, I don't think that wouldn't bum me out too much, because I think all the people that I'd want to see would still go anyway. Like, let's put it this way. If they brought E3 back and were like, hey, we're not going to open it up to the public, I wouldn't be crestfallen.
That would be so awesome. That would be so freaking awesome.
Well, that's how it used to be.
yeah, for sure. I mean, but like, my first year at Kind of Funny was E3 when they opened up to the public. So I never got to experience the non-public version of it.
I mean, there were still people there that were like, yeah, you were like, you shouldn't, yeah, like, you probably shouldn't be here. But like, it was, yeah, I mean, yeah, E3 is just one of those events.
Yeah. Same with concerts. I think the major like musicians are like, I got some friends at like Live Nation and Ticketmaster, and they're like 2022 for the A-list artists for sure. But I feel like a lot of indie smaller bands are going to start this year. They probably already started in a lot of places, like trying to do shows. So I feel like end of this year, I've been getting offers for like fall, like winter touring stuff. And I'm like, I don't feel comfortable right now. I don't even want to say yes to something right now, knowing that like numbers are still going up and new strains. And I don't even want to bother.
I've had tickets to Rage Against the Machine for like a year and a half.
Me too. Oh my God.
And I'm just like, come on, pandemic. Like, let's get over this so we can go see them.
Yeah, I got that Weezer Hella Mega Tour with Green Day tickets. And like, I get the email every so often from Ticketmaster, like, coming up this summer. Like, the fuck it is. No, get out of here. You know what I mean?
Not.
Yeah, they're not going to cancel. Like, they can't cancel.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be 50 years old. It'll be telling me about this thing.
It's coming. It's coming.
You have Lupe Fiasco.
Like, is Rage going to want to tour again? Like, I keep wondering.
I mean, you have to imagine they barely wanted to tour the first time. Like, all right, let's get out and do one more. And now without this, they're probably like, forget it. We're not doing it.
You say about Lupe Fiasco?
Yeah, what'd you say about Lupe?
I got Lupe Fiasco tickets that just keep getting pushed back. But the problem for me is I bought tickets for like 12 people. And so I'm just like, I feel bad asking them for the money because I'm like, I don't want to ask you for money for something that might not happen. I'm fine right now, but it just sucks.
I only bought three tickets.
I keep getting emails like with the date just being kicked back and back. I'm like, all right, this sucks. Just cancel it, but I know they can't. Well,
that's the one he was going to do the full album, right?
Yes. Food album. And liquor, dude. Front to back.
Oh. Man, I love
see, that. I bought three tickets to Rage because I was like, I know that the two people I'm buying tickets for, there's like a 50-50 shot that they're going to back out on me. And I know I can easily get two other people to sub in from my group of friends in San Francisco to go see Rage Against the Machine pretty easily.
My friend bought it for me, and I was on the JoCo cruise when this all went down. I was in the worst place you could be on a cruise ship.
Oh God. You're lucky you got stuck in a harbor in San Francisco.
I thought we were
going to
be stuck. I was like, we're not getting off this boat. Like, we are not getting off. And sure enough, somehow they got us off the boat. They didn't stop us. They didn't take temperature, anything. They were like, this way, here you go. Just got us out of there. But like,
that's my hell.
For the first like 3-4 days, we're like, we're not going online. We're not going to watch the news. We're not watching anything. And then we're like, I think we should watch the news. And then we found out Tom Hanks had it. Then the NBA was canceled. And I'm like, oh no.
What's weird is I'm watching a show right now, a reality show that was filmed right at the beginning of COVID. And so as we're at the end of it, we're getting to the episodes where they're like, I think this COVID thing is going to be pretty like serious. And one of the characters literally was like, oh my God, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson Hanks have COVID. They've tested positive for this. And they're all like freaking out. And it's totally like reliving it of being like, y'all have no idea what you're in for.
You're watching it. You're no literally the Always idea. Sunny meme of just like, you dumb bitch. Like, you're all fucking going down because we were all that same people. Day to day.
I would ask you guys, like, in your art and music and movies, do you want to see COVID touched on at all? Because I don't. And I was just reading about, I think Ice-T said that the new seasons of SVU are going to address COVID and they're going to have the mask sometimes. And I'm like, I don't want to see that. We're living that. Either.
So you're telling me they named this beer after
a disease? I do. I feel like it's an That's important thing Andy. To touch on. And you can't. Like, it's weird watching stuff nowadays where they're not wearing
I get so uncomfortable.
They're not talking about things.
When I see people gathering in groups in movies now or doing whatever, it's like, oh, my God. I was watching something we did, and I on stage, I hugged somebody, and it was just, like, such a weird, like, oh, my God. Like, what a crazy thing of, like, to look back at how I used to be.
I mean, I watched the movie Hitch the other day, and I saw them all in a bar. Like, I was like, it does give you a little weird anxiety. You're like, you should not be in that bar. There's too many people in that bar. This is definitely not COVID compliant. Yeah. But, like, I'll say this. Like, part of the reason that I just didn't want to do comedy for a really long time was because I was – the same reason, like, when Trump got elected, everyone had Trump jokes, and I was just like, it's too overwhelming. Same with coronavirus. I want this thing to be done, and I want it to be outlawed that anyone can tell a COVID joke because there have been so many of them. Everyone opens their sets up with, whoa, we're all still stuck in this pandemic. It's like, yeah, no shit, dude. Tell a joke about anything other than COVID because nobody wants to be reminded that we're stuck in our homes right now. That's my perspective on it, at least.
I agree with that.
I don't know.
And we'll hear more after a word from our sponsors.
That's right, Andy. If you didn't know, this is the Kind of Funny podcast each and every week, twice a week, four, sometimes five best friends gather on these microphones, coming to bullshit with each other and you. If you enjoy that, you can head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where, of course, you can get the show ad free. In the middle of the intro, you have something to add, Nick?
No, I'm raising my hand for when you're ready to come to me.
You're going to get very tired. It's going to be on. If you go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, to get each and every episode ad free, to ask us questions, and of course, to get the exclusive post show we do over there. Of course, you could be like our Patreon producers. Of course, these Patreon producers are from the month of January when we celebrated our 6th anniversary, which means you came out in droves and we love you. So deep breath. Thank you, Graham of Legend, David Mintel, Recasted Podcast, Food Kid Fat City, which is a fucking name. Yes.
Great.
Joy, aka Joseph O. Youssef. Aaron, not Aaron, but E-R-I-N, not Aaron, A-A-R-O-N. Willie D. Billums.
That's Alexander Knoxel. That's a great name.
That's a good one too. Julian, the gluten-free gamer. Danny Rodriguez. Javi Rodriguez. King Vin. Tyler Wodan. Corey Wallerstead, Devin Holbrook, James Davis, aka at James Davis Makes, Greg, two G's in the front, two G's in the back. I don't see that often. The nanobiologist, DJ Kento, Ricky L. Wanger, Caesar Palafox, Devin Carter, Steve Powers. That's a good name. It's not Burt Meg level, but Ricky L. Wanger. That's a good name. I like that. Mark Freeman, Andrew C., Pizza Burgers, Ryan Trimble, Kieran O'Donnell, and Keith A. Lewis. Today, we're brought to you by YouTube.com/KindaFunnyPlays. And hey, let's talk about them right now. What's up, motherfucker? It's me, Greg Miller, and this is the ad. That's right. It's not a real sponsorship, so I can curse to do whatever I want, and I can come up here and be like, I got no hand. Oh, you can see the hand, I guess. Anyways, did you know we have a... Do you know we have a new YouTube channel? It's called youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. It's all the streams we do each and every weekday on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, uploaded to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays for your viewing enjoyment. In January, we heard you. You don't have time for Twitch. You can't go over there. Of course, if you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch, what do they call it? You have Prime Gaming, which means you can go over and give us your free 30-day subscription. If you're not using it, they're just taking that money and sitting on it. Take Bezos's money before he leaves. Give it to us. That's what I say. But beyond all that, if you miss any of the fun stuff we do over there, whether it's Nick just being terrible at Warzone, whether it's me being awesome at Bloodborne, whether it's Snowbike Mike bringing the hype, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. It would mean a lot if you went over there and subscribed, even if you never want to watch it. Okay? Back to the podcast, where I won't curse ever again, motherfucker. Nick, you've been raising your hand that entire time. You kept it up nice and strong. I'm very proud of you. You didn't immediately fold like a folding chair.
You're
what
a
do you
strong
got
guy.
I just,
strong
you know, guy. I work out. I want to tell you guys a story of compassion, and I want to tell you a story of the human spirit.
This is going to be the biggest and bullshit thing of all time.
I want to tell you a story about that's going to inspire you to your very core to be kind to your fellow human.
Sure.
Okay. I go to Starbucks this morning. As you guys know, I've moved. I'm currently living in a dance studio. And the Starbucks near me is full of people who are just superb human beings. Very nice, on the ball. You know, remember my order. They just are taking pride in their work here, which is, you know, sometimes rare for a Starbucks. Sometimes, I mean, Starbucks, I don't expect that at most of the time. It's nice to see it. Go to get the Starbucks this morning, get a turkey bacon sandwich, right? Got to run some errands, had to do some errands for some people, do some stuff. I'm moving and shaking. Get that, get my coffee, leave. Come back 3 hours later after running a slew of errands. And I'm like, I'm hungry again, but I'm not going to be able to get real food. Maybe I'll just go back to that same Starbucks and I'll just get a turkey bacon sandwich, right?
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
The same person's working there. She goes, hey, Nick, what's going on? I was like, it's going to sound crazy to you. Please don't judge me. But I just want another turkey bacon sandwich. And she was like, do you want the venti iced coffee? No sweetener again? And I'm like, no, it's been a little too long. I shouldn't do that. And she goes, are you sure? Because you know what? I'll give you that 50-cent refill right now if you want it. I'll give it to you 50 cents.
Whoa.
She goes, you get a refill. And normally, guys, I don't know if you know this about Starbucks, it's usually a 1 hour limit. If you're out or if you leave the store, they usually like pretty sticklers about that. But I was like, I was so taken aback by this. I'm like, that I was like, I do want this. I do want
a third
venti iced coffee. I'll take that today. And yeah. Then I tipped her. I tipped her $1. I was like, this is really cool that you did
a
that.
A true triumph went, of the aw. Human spirit. Wow.
I mean, I respect that. They should write a story about it, a 2-hour-long epic about it, please.
It definitely gave you energy. And like, I don't know if the days line up, but do you say that was today or yesterday that this happened?
Yeah, I'm drinking it right now. This is
okay,
right here.
Fault that. Because yeah. Something else must have happened yesterday. Because yesterday, Nick came to my place to drop something off, as he does every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And the last couple times he's done this, I've always noticed something weird going on, but it wasn't until yesterday that I caught him in the act. And what's happening is I will hear like
idiot.
Him downstairs, and then I hear him at the door, and I hear like a bunch of like beep, 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 like on like a keypad.
Yeah.
And then I just hear him going. just that it's that noise, and I'm just like, oh god, fuck, Nick's here, all right. And I go downstairs, and then I realize that Nick thought he was touching my doorbell with the camera, and he's been like making faces into what's just a keypad. There's no camera on it.
100%.
100%. And I was like, Nick, the camera and the doorbell are over there.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly what happened.
Because like I've been
I feel no shame.
Because I've been wanting to post about it, so I've been trying to go back on my camera feed to find the footage that inevitably would be your dumb face like all up in it.
Oh, and it's gonna be next time.
It's just not there, and I'm like, what's going on? And then I realize you're at the wrong thing.
Yep, 100%. What happened was I walked up to the door and I was like, I don't understand how to ring the doorbell here. So I started pressing the touchpad.
Don't know how to use
the
doorbell.
And it started giving me feedback of just beeping. And I was like, well, this is good enough for me. So I just kept pressing it. And then I would see the look on your face when you'd open the door. And Kevin will appreciate this. Kev, it was like that mildly annoyed Tim look. And I'm like, it's working. So I'll just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Tim, when you... we're setting up all your Nest stuff. I was like, you know what we should do is we should put a camera right here. And you were like, there's no need for a camera right here. And like, here it is.
I mean, you would have had that would have been 10 great had footage right there.
Yeah,
of this. 10 great it's tweets so right there of me being so stupid.
It would have been so funny. All right, well, lessons for next
time. I mean, look, now I know where the camera is, Tim, and now I will rectify the situation.
Yeah, but that's going to be a close-up camera of your face. I want, a wide shot of you hunched over, leaning into the
thinking this is a camera.
Like that one time my wife took a picture of me taking a selfie of myself, and it was the most embarrassing thing I've ever done in my life. She's just straight up putting me on blast. Love it. God bless her.
Somebody's got to. I feel like nobody takes you down a peg. And so somebody's got
to. Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh. No one in this group ever thinks to take me down a peg. I'm just running rampant out there, just going crazy in this group. Nobody ever gives me shit at all on any of our Twitch 3-hour streams where Snowbike Mike, Andy, and Kevin are just tearing me down every single second.
God, be a fucking baby about it.
Everyone, go follow us on Facebook.
If you want to see a man have a nervous breakdown, that's where you go. Mega, what have you been playing lately?
Oh, man. I just got an Xbox Series X. So I've been going crazy on Game Pass, man. Game Pass is the shit. So I've been playing a lot of Cyber Shadow.
Oh yeah.
Super hard. This thing, it might be harder than Ninja Gaiden. And I didn't think that was possible. But yeah, it's got enough like Mega Man feel to it that's really got me into it. I love the I feel like I'm getting pretty far, but it's a pretty good, like, meaty game. So I've been playing that.
You talk about Cyber Shadow?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I just beat it last night, Ran.
You beat it? Here we go.
Damn, Andy. Good shit. So
cool. I beat it last night. Ran, prepare for the biggest bullshit stuff you've ever seen in a video game in your life. Oh, my God. Yeah. I was so tilted last night with what this game introduces towards the end, where it's like, hey, we've done a little bit of platforming. How about right before final boss, let's introduce the longest platforming section with no checkpoints whatsoever, and you are trying to do these special ground
that might be
double
where
jumps
I am doing
while shit's flying at you.
The dash move and like all these things at once that I'm like, I just learned this move. Now I have to use it 45 times to get across here.
It's momentum. Yeah. But I beat the final boss after like it took me about 25 minutes to beat the final boss. It took me about an hour and a half to get to that platforming section.
Damn,
I was so frustrated. But I beat it.
That's crazy. Congrats.
The boss fight was fun. Congrats. But it's a hard game.
It's hard. I was just saying, I think this game might be harder than Ninja Gaiden. And Ninja Gaiden is pretty impossible. So,
yeah.
But it's pretty brutal. So I've been playing that a lot lately. Let's see. What else? I just started Yakuza.
Oh, which one?
I guess this is the first one, Kiwami, which is a remake of the first one, I think. Yeah. I don't know. So I've been playing that a lot. I really like it. What else? I just jumped on. Usually today, Throwback Thursday, we've been playing through Halo games. So we're playing
Greg's favorite.
We're playing ODST right now, and man, that game was a little bit of a slog. I don't remember it. I don't even know if I played it originally, but it's a lot more like detective and like
slower,
less
yeah,
running and gunning. So and you're not like Master Chief, so you don't have this like the auto heal armor. So it's hard. And I've been playing them all in legendary, so that's been brutal.
I did love about ODST here. You're always switching perspectives and kind of seeing the other side of the other sort of orbital drop shock Troopers.
Nailed it, Andy. Good job.
Shock Troopers.
Nick. Good job. Okay.
You listening, Nick?
Four cool words.
Yeah, he's Googling. Or
I was Googling Cyber Shadow. This looks really cool. I'm sorry. I'm still stuck on that. That looks awesome. Whatever you're talking about, Halo, I don't care. I don't have an Xbox or a PC because Tim won't get one.
Tim will get you a $7,000 PC. There's a difference.
I don't see a difference, Andy. Do you see a difference here? I don't know. No, but this Cyber Shadow game looks dope. I might play this.
And the music's like right real good. The
music's rips, really
dude.
Good.
Dude, yeah. Vert, man, I'm telling you, if you guys aren't familiar with Vert.
It's Vert?
The GOAT. That's who Vert is.
The artist that did the music for, one of the artists that did the music in Cyber Shadow, and it is freaking, it's sick nasty. Nick,
so did sick nasty. Shovel Knight as well.
Yep.
Nice.
Vert is like a chiptune god. Absolutely brilliant. Played a show together during I think GDC and like he blew me away.
That's awesome.
I got a question today of like, Andy, do you prefer the soundtrack of Cyber Shadow or the Messenger? And for me, the the Messenger is so special to me because of the 16 and 8-bit renditions of them, like of having to have two different soundtracks and hearing the change when you finally hit that kind of Christopher Nolan moment of like, oh my god, I'm 16-bit now and everything looks different. Like, what an awesome moment in games. Video games are cool, man.
Video games are cool.
Let's keep talking about music. Of course, it makes sense with Mega Ran here. Of course, recording artist. You all know you should go listen to his stuff. Of course, buy his book, Dreammaster. There it is. I'm getting all the plugs in for you, Mega.
Thank you.
Arvel Krynid, long time, far from first time, writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, I have been a huge fan of the Pet Shop Boys basically all my life. And there is one term that the singer of the group coined when he was thinking about the duo's biggest period in their careers, the so-called Imperial phase. Think of it as a time in someone's career where everything that they did was a certified hit. Think Madonna and Michael Jackson in the 80s, Taylor Swift in the 2010s, or Johnny Ace's Imperial phase in 2018, 2019.
Right. Yeah, that's Nick.
Who do you think has their Imperial phase right now? What artist should have their Imperial phase again? And what artist would you like to see at the top of their game? And what do you think of your own Imperial phase? Do you have moments where you have been thinking of having peaked at something?
Ooh.
Lots of going on there, but I guess Nick never peaked.
No, that's a really good thing. I was thinking about this recently, and I almost put it in my Twitter bio because I was just thinking about it. I'm like, I am not an expert at anything. I am just an enthusiast at many things. And it's like there is a difference because I've seen people like kind of critique and question my knowledge on things, and I'm like, I never claim to know anything, but I have claimed to be a big fan of many things, and it's just like enthusiast is everywhere I'm at. So I have not peaked in terms of being an expert on anything. To answer the first part of the question, I've said this many times, but Ariana Grande is in it right now. Every single thing she does is just hit after hit after hit on top of quantity and quality. Like, she's constantly putting things out, reinventing, putting something out, letting it have its moment, and then putting out a new deluxe version that adds four new hit singles, like back to back to back. And on top of all that, she does a really good job of putting on the new artists, the new up and coming people, where it's like, yeah, she went from Nicki Minaj, but now she's doing songs that have Doja Cat and have a lot of the more up and coming like TikTok type of artists and stuff. And I just think it's awesome to see somebody that is doing it and has been in that phase for now at least 3 years and looks like she is not slowing down anytime soon.
Okay.
Good one. I think Rihanna has been in this state of like winning constantly. And I guess she hasn't put out a record in a while, but
it's been
a
long time. Yeah.
That's probably why, because I think everything else is working out so well, like literally anything she touches. You know, and all these different brands have really popped off. So I think she's due for like the biggest release, but I think she's kind of taking her time. And no, I feel like Drake would have been one as well, because Drake kind of can't miss, you know, when he just throws something out in quarantine, it works. So I've been hearing rumors that he's got a new thing coming as well. But I guess all the big guys are just trying to wait, like until they can tour or whatever. But yeah, I think Drake has been in this almost perpetual state of Imperial because he's never missed, you know, like even when rumors came out that he wasn't writing his own music, like just moving on and just still like maybe bigger than before. So I don't know. I think Drake is like eternally Imperial. As far as myself, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm in a really good groove right now. I've been this year. just trying to challenge myself more. So now I'm, the next thing I'm targeting is YouTube. Just youtube.com/MegaRan, by the way. So now I'm doing a Freestyle Friday. So I'm going to do a new freestyle drop every Friday about 3 p.m. where I get on a beat, either a classic beat of my own or a classic beat of someone else's, write some very new, recent kind of stream of consciousness rhymes. So maybe I'm referencing the, you know, the election or whatever, you know, so
this they're podcast. Very recent.
Yeah, this podcast might be in it.
So, I was on a bad podcast. Now I got to go real fast. There you go. You can take that. That's for you.
Take that. Throw that right out.
So, yeah, I'm trying to make it like a bit of a time capsule of what I'm doing while I'm at home. So I have something to look back on like, oh, yeah, that's what you were up to, you know. So, yeah, that's I feel like I'm in a really good groove. I mean, the book came out in January, and then the last day of January, Black Materia Remake released, which is something we've been working on for probably 5 years, you know, just as far as
I missed that. Damn, I've been waiting for it. I've been waiting. I did not know it came out. That's hell yeah. That's my night.
The 31st was really important to me because that's the anniversary of when I first released it. And the 31st was the day that FF7 came out in Japan. So I'm really good on really like it's important to me to match dates with things. So we've been working so hard to match that and get it onto that date. So shout out to Game Chops Records. It is out right now. It's 22 tracks. It's huge, but like it's oh man, it's an experience. It feels like a movie. You know, it's narrated by some of our friends. Austin Creed does the introduction. I'm doing a bunch of I do a bunch of really, really awesome raps. I got a bunch of friends on there to make some incredible beats. And yes, so now I feel like I might be ready to enter the next phase of MegaRan. Like with this book on the first day and then the Black Materia release. I'm in a zone, man. I'm grooving. I think this might be it for me. Like, this is the imperialist state of MegaRan. You're in it. Bask.
You're living it right
living
now.
Living your best life. Love it.
Bask. Drink it in,
man. Tim, I'm going to make a business proposition right now.
Let's
Tim.
Do it.
And it doesn't benefit any of you at all.
Great.
What I'm proposing is you send me to a producer boot camp. For like a month, right? We get a really, really popular beat maker, somebody who's really good at
Boy Wonder
instrumentation. Because I feel like I got the stuff, I just don't know the tools, man. Like I could, you know, like I used to fuck with music programs back in the day, and then they're just it's so confusing. The amount of times I've run into issues with latency and DAWs and all this shit. It's just, it's so much, Tim. It's so freaking much and it's confusing. And I understand Greg's frustration when he comes to me with Photoshop problems. Yeah. You know, I get it now. I absolutely get it. So what do you think about the proposition?
I'm in. Yeah, find someone. You know, real talk, Andy. You should reach out to Carter Harrell, the dude that does all the Kind of Funny in Review. Intro.
He's a master. Yeah.
He's so damn good. I'm sure he could help you out with stuff. He's great. I do want to say that you said you're asking if I think you have the stuff, and Nick very vehemently just shook his head no.
No, I do. I think Andy, I think you have the stuff. I think you're very musically inclined. I think you could get out there and make some dope stuff. But Andy, I also think that you're right so now. Good. Yeah, Andy, drop me a funky beat, like something.
Get the Casio keyboard going. Go.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
He's warming it up. Hold on, everybody's doing it right now.
Let's try this out. Let's see what we can do with this, everybody. Hold on.
Now, Ran, I want you to get out your critical thinking skills here, and I want because we're gonna score Andy on this afterward.
All right.
Okay. All right, everybody. Ready?
Out of 10. Okay. Nope. Can't hear it.
It's coming.
Oh, fuck, really?
You
couldn't hear it, really?
I can't.
No, we didn't hear it. We didn't hear it.
Oh, I had it muted. Here we go.
Here we go.
Here it is.
Give me something, Ran.
Oh my, this is cool. Mega Ran, rapping like a fool. The beat sounds pretty cool, but I don't understand Where is it? It's kind of bland. We're gonna do some bass.
I love it. I love trying to do it over with latency and shit. Like, there's no chance that could have worked.
It almost worked, though.
I thought it was really good. Kevin, you know how, because here's the thing, I'm using this thing called MIDI.City. And I'm using my keyboard. Obviously, you can hear the clicks. Kevin, those foot pedals. Give me the foot pedals. I can hit some synths. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I can hit some pads.
But here's the thing. And like, jokes aside. Oh, Tim disappeared. Discord
decided to update midway through, by the way. Sorry for dropping out earlier.
Liar.
Did he drop out?
What were you going to say, Kevin?
I was going to say they have footboards that are like way more complex for MIDI stuff that I've thought about using. They're just significantly more expensive. But I think
they're really good. So, Geddy Lee from Rush, Kevin, when he's ripping it on bass, he's also hitting foot pedals for synths. He's insane.
Yep, it's cool.
Ripping it, dude.
Nick, did your internet just get disconnected when you went away for a sec?
No, my computer froze because I think Discord needed to update. So I think Discord was trying to force an update. So I restarted my computer, and then when I restarted Discord, it updated. It put two updates through. So I don't know what happened there.
Something happened to me. It bumped me out, but I'm back. So here we go.
You're back.
When I peaked, I would have said I was at the top of my game probably. I'm looking at dates here. Probably August 2001 at NCAA football 2002. I would have been able to say, if you know what I mean. I would have just torn people apart if there was better online and there was like a
I thought you meant like if you were actually playing college football.
Oh God, no, Jesus Christ, I was. Way heavier than I am now. I'm just saying, like, I was really good at the video game then, you know?
Yeah,
SmackDown, just bring it would have been, I would have gone against anybody.
I like that, Greg. I like that we're picking up just, like, really dumb moments in our lives that we think we were the best at things. Because for me, Halo 1 in high school. Like, I was taking on everybody in high school. I was just destroying fools. Again, we created rivalries against some random kids who were talking a lot of shit. My parents were out one weekend. They came over. We fucking clowned these losers in CTF. It's like they had never played Halo before. It was embarrassing. So that's when I peaked the first time. Second peak. Dual peak right here. I'm thinking, oh, gosh. Maybe like NBA 2K, I had some sick ass game like in 2011 when they had my club and then they ripped it all apart. And then NBA 2K has just been shit ever since.
I think it's
the last time I peaked.
If I had to pick a peak for myself, we're talking like skill based stuff. Late summer 98 to 99, somewhere in there. I think it was, 98, 99. I'm playing Mario Kart 64 battle mode and I'm murdering people in it. And I'm also playing a lot of GoldenEye. Those are the times that I really felt like I'm dominating my friend group.
Like,
of course, you know, very small pool of people from which to draw.
Sure.
But I feel like now you watch me play Mario Kart and you're like, this is embarrassing for you.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, though, and not the racing component of it, just the battle mode, I feel like I could have probably given anyone here a run for their money in it. For sure. And GoldenEye for sure as well. Because as you know, GoldenEye, I think, forced you to do inverted unless you changed it.
That is correct.
Yeah. So I would have clowned people.
Also when games peaked for Nick, when they forced you to go inverted.
That really was. That was when I thought we're vindicated. We're turning a new corner here. Everyone's going to have to learn my way of play. And then fast forward, it's Andy's favorite joke. It's Andy's favorite joke to say about me. And you know what I especially appreciate about Andy is I try to hide it from my other friends that don't know about it, and you just put it right out there.
My favorite thing. Man, that comedian joined you on Monday or whatever, and Andy made sure to call you out. Just right on it to embarrass you in front of your friends.
Really bad. Well, no, it's like your mom coming out and telling you dinner time. And I was like,
it's because somebody always
asks. Nikki, you forgot your diaper.
Here's
just waving it as you get on the bus.
Here's the thing, Ryan. On Mondays, we usually play Warzone. It's me, Snowback Mike, it's Nick. And it's usually like sometimes we have a guest. So Nick brought on one of his comedian friends, Mark Smalls. And we had a Twitch chat. A comment that said, does Snowbike Mike play on controller or keyboard mouse? Because I see he's playing on PC. They didn't ask about Nick, but I feel like I have to, you know, volunteer the information for that. Sure. No, I play keyboard mouse. Snowbike Mike plays controller, and Nick plays keyboard mouse while using a PS5, and he inverts the mouse controls. The inverted vertical control on the mouse is there as well. So if he pulls down on the mouse, he's looking up. And I have to volunteer that information. I feel like I have to let them know.
Megaran, disturbed.
Again, I don't. We didn't need to. We don't need to hash this out right now, man. Like we don't. Hey, you know.
I'm not going to shame because I'm sure you're better at it than I am.
I don't know about that. I'm not great at the game.
If you're I've seen Rand dominate Mega Man. Like Mega Man's a hard ass game. I just watched Rand go in there, and it's like you're just shopping for groceries. You just know. You know where to go. You know what to do. The food's gonna be over there. The milk's gonna be over there. It's over.
Yeah, I've been playing that game since before I could crawl, basically. You know, but if you're not very good at Warzone, with I might know why.
It's just one of those. You know what?
We've seen improvements.
It's definitely one of those things that I've thought about. Like every time I come across a game, especially like indie games, like I talk about like Fall Guys, right, where they just didn't have a button when the game first launched until they pushed an update to actually invert controls. It's moments like that I'm like, you gotta just make a concerted effort to break yourself of this. But Warzone is not the game to do that in. Warzone is not the place where you want that added frustration on top of trying to figure out how the mechanics of the game work, what a loadout is, and then not embarrassing yourself in front of Snowbike Mike, who is our newest member of the group, who I want to put in a good impression with because he's probably never heard me on a podcast before.
Yeah, I was going to say, Snowbike Mike's never heard you on a podcast or interacted with you. There's no way he could possibly know what you're like.
I'm trying to start afresh with him. I'm trying to build back my reputation with some of these young lads. But yeah, I got to break myself of the habit eventually. Just not today.
Not today. One day.
Not today.
That's fine. Mega Ran, what's that like for you two? We're talking about the book, obviously, your memoir here, talking about your entire career and your journey from being a teacher to being Mega Ran. Like, what's it like for you now to have been, as we were talking earlier, so established in this? And I'm sure you have acts that you work with or bring on your show that are like, man, I grew up listening to you. Like, you taught me what this was like.
Really odd. Like people are like, dude, you got me through middle school. I'm like, what? Come on, I'm not that old, but it's interesting, man. It's really cool to be around to hear that. Like at first, of course, it makes me feel super old and washed, but at the same time, like it's an honor, man. Like it really is. Like there's a gentleman, Creative Mind Frame. He's a great streamer, plays a ton of Rocket League. He's super good. But yeah, he's like, dude, I came to one of your shows in the freezing cold in Dallas, Texas. And I'm like, okay, I think I remember this show. And he's like, I bought everything you had because I felt so bad about stealing your music all throughout high school. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. So when it comes back to me in that positive way like that, I'm all for it. But yeah, it's really interesting being like the OG, as they call me, but yeah, as long as I can pass down some, that's really why I wrote the book. People are like, man, it's a little too early to write a memoir. Like you're not done, but I think, I wanted to pass these like stories and lessons down to some of the younger kids that might be trying to follow this path and not thinking it's even possible. Like there was no manual, there was no layout of how to become like a successful indie rapper, in the early 2000s. Like it's just wasn't there, So yeah, I want my mistakes to hopefully like show someone the way. And that's really what it was about for me. It was just teaching those lessons through all my mess ups. And I wanted to make sure to have those mistakes or those missteps in there so that people, can see that. Because
sure.
I one thing I can't stand, and I guess it happens a lot on Clubhouse, back to that, is that you just find a bunch of like snake oil salesmen who are just telling you how to be great. And like they've never had an issue. Like, tell me about a challenge. Tell me about a time or a thing you had to really fight through and how you did it, So that was really important for me.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say the sequel to the book is going to be all about this next current Imperial phase.
Imperial phase, yeah, that's what we're calling it.
Absolutely. I feel like, man, I got so much material for the next book. But I want to get into other genres as well. Like, I'm thinking about a children's book.
Oh,
maybe,
nice.
Some other cool things. Maybe like a self-help or short stories or, things like that. So, yeah, I really think I want to get into a children's thing next.
I'm glad you bring that up, Megaran, because if you all don't know, Tim, I recently downloaded TikTok.
Congrats.
And one of the first things I saw was a quick, the TikTok has everything, but one of the categories that I selected was a kind of a how-to, what's the word I'm looking for? Like life hack sort of thing.
Yep.
And one of the tutorials was a lady saying, hey, here's a really good way to make money fast. Write a children's book, hire an artist for cheap, put that shit on Amazon Books or whatever. I know we fucking hate Amazon, but it's like parents and teachers are buying these books like crazy. And I think should we make a children's book all together? Because I want, like, I could do the art. We could figure this out. And it's a quick money venture for us right now. Getting it out.
100% in. I saw the TikTok. I was very
80-20 my way, Kevin. 80-20 my way. Well, let's get in there, dude.
I don't know.
Can I throw out an idea right now?
Wait, no, one second. How graphic are you willing to get with these drawings?
Well, it's a kid's book. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Just answer the question.
Yeah, but how graphic are you willing to get?
Very.
Rated R. Rated R.
Thank you.
Rated
X. Okay. All right. 80-20 it is, my dude. I'm in.
All right. What's up, Nick? Go ahead, Nick.
Donuts everywhere, but not a drop to drink. That's what we should call this bad boy.
Oh, and also, but one of the tutorials is like, make it about an animal and call it something to something. And it's like Arnie the alligator or Jeffrey the jalopy. No, that's not an animal.
He's just a broken down car.
Hey, and the kids mix it up. That's not bad.
So it would be Jeffrey the jalopy
giraffe
learns about TikTok.
No. TikTok was just telling him how to make one of these books.
Nick?
Moose the dog.
I've talked about this multiple times in the show. Here, Andy, there you go. That's my manuscript for Wiener Dog Thinks He's a Manatee.
Like, we make this, and it's not even like kind of funny people only buying it.
It's 30 pages right there. Go draw.
It's teachers and parents just looking for like cute books. Like, what can I read my kid? Oh, I have this e-reader. Oh, wait a minute. I'll just pick this cute book.
Greg, you made a kid's book that's 30 pages long.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like a picture book. You know, you turn the page. There's one thing on everything. Andy's looking at it right now.
You know what's not going to work? You know what's not going to work?
You can't draw dogs.
No. Here's. I already have a little bit of feedback. I'm reading the script. I love it so far. Reading the book so far. I'm loving it.
Well, you literally just glanced at it and then said I had feedback, which doesn't sound like you like it.
Seen the Rock as Portillo.
I've dug in so far. There's a lot of great character arcs. What I will say, though, is what the lady said is you got to making it rhyme. It adds to the time, adds to the money.
Yeah.
Money time. You know, time is
so
money.
So Mega Rad needs to write it.
I happen to do a rhyme thing. So, you know, it's basically a poem.
Do it right.
But with the right now. I'm down.
Portillo and his pillow. And it's just about how dogs like to hump small pillows that look like hedgehogs.
Okay, that's enough of that. We'll stop right there. We're going to stop right there. We're not going to put Mega Ran through that. All right.
I was into the title, but
then it turned. It turned on it.
And he said he'd be down. He's down with the sickness. He's down to illustrate some X-rated stuff. So I'm just saying, kids today too sensitive, right? Back in the day, we could have launched this book. It could have been R-rated, bloodshed, all these things, and we're fine. We all turned out great.
I just heard bloodshed.
Blood in your shit? That's not good.
That's Andy. What I heard.
Girl. Yeah, no, bloodshed.
Yeah, shed.
I love this idea.
It's a good. I love the idea. I honestly, for listening, everybody.
Real talk. I honestly love the idea of the Portillo Kids book. I think it's adorable. Thank you. Sorry for shitting.
You just shot it down, but I gotta keep finding. Oh, I gotta keep looking for an artist. I guess. God forbid Andy do something.
I'll just maybe make it rhyme a little bit, you know?
But it doesn't need to rhyme. You know what I mean? We can overcome that.
Haikus don't need to rhyme.
But exactly. They're better when they do. We all know that from experience, Greg.
Yeah.
Mega Rand, thank you for joining us today. I'm sorry you had to teach us about Clubhouse. We didn't mean for that to happen, but you did it.
That was fun. I hope to see you in the next chat room.
Well, of course, we have a post show to do, but in case people aren't coming over there, where can people go get the book? Where can they keep up with you, Mega Rand?
Dreammasterbook.com. You can go to megaran.com for anything me related. There's music at megaranmusic.com. There's merch at megaranmerch.com. I try to make it super easy. You can find me on Twitch and any of your socials. Just look for Megaran. But it's going to look like Meg Ryan the first time you see it. You're going to be like, oh, I thought that was Meg Ryan. Yeah, I've heard that several times.
Heard that joke a lot, yeah.
That was your Twitter name for a long time, right? Of like not Meg Ryan.
Not Meg Ryan, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Rand's version of, oh, so are you guys kind of funny?
Yeah. And then you know what you do? You just sit Kevin on them. They find out we're not kind of funny at all. So that's how it goes. Ladies and gentlemen, this of course has been the Kind of Funny podcast each and every week. Twice a week we come to you. to just bullshit around. You enjoy that? You go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. You can get every episode early. You can get every episode ad-free. You can get it with the post show we're about to do, this time with Mega Ran. Of course, you can be watching live like Ashley J, Lexi G, J6, or Mark. J6, I don't know why I said J6. What does matter? But if you don't want to do any of that, youtube.com/kindoffunny. Podcast services around the globe each and every week, twice a week. So until next time, buy Mega Ran's book, and it's been our pleasure to serve you.